Hey guys, Maestro here, bringing you episode 91 of Maestro on the Mic. Today I am asking the question, do you know what a trigger point is? But really though, do you know what a trigger point is? And then, because I love you, I'm going to tell you what a trigger point is. But because you know I'm all about the bigger picture, we're going to just use that as an example as to how you should be approaching your assessments, your interventions, and how you are explaining things to patients. Because if you don't know what's going on, if you don't know how your intervention is working, if you don't know why that person has what they have in the first place, you shouldn't be surprised if you're not getting the best results possible. So, tune into the full episode. Let me help you better help your patients. But first, DJ, gimme that heartbeat.
This is Maestro on the Mic,
a podcast designed to help you change your mindset and your life.
It is time for something new.
Join host Dr. Shante Cofield, also known as the Movement Maestro, on a journey to see the bigger picture.
Open your eyes.
Find your passion.
And discover how movement unites us all.
Let's get it poppin'.
This is Maestro on the Mic. I'm the Maestro, and you're about to get maestrified.
3, 2, 1.
Hey guys, Maestro here, coming at you live with another Thursday shorty. Today we're talking about trigger points. Perhaps I just lost a whole bunch of the audience. Maybe I didn't. We will see. So I love hearing from you. I love hearing from my trusty assistant Lex. That's where I get some of these prompts or ideas, and we were kind of talking about that, and it's awesome to hear people who are in clinic right now, because I forget, right? I don't treat that much, and I forget what it was like to be a new grad or a student, and I get really, really valuable insight when you guys ask me questions, so please keep asking these questions. So basically, her question was, you know, how do I get rid of these knots? Because my CI is telling me I have to, and I'm trying to use massage. So before any of you listening who maybe know the answer or have your opinions on it, go and like, you know, balking at her and being like, how did you not know that? If you know the answer to this and understand what I'm going to say, cool, right? Put yourself back in that new grad position, in that student position, and take a chill pill, right? If you don't know the answer, listen up, because this is going to be fun, right? So one of the main things that I think is a problem is with school and schooling, traditional schooling, is that we don't learn the why behind things. We learn a lot of the how, and sometimes that how is not correct. We don't learn the why and like what is actually going on. So I have so much to say. I'm so excited about this. So let's talk about this quote unquote knot or this trigger point, right? I'm not here to argue whether they exist, whatever. Let's say for all intents and purposes, they do, right? That knot, what is it and why is it there? I want people to understand the nuances behind this, because if you understand those two things, then you can figure out how to get rid of it. And the perhaps even more important question, if you even need to get rid of it, right? You know, maybe I'm going to jump the gun here a little bit, but I want you to remember when you're treating someone, you are treating a human. You're not making cake, right? There's a difference. You don't need to smooth them out and then you're like, you're ready to go. That's called preparing a cake batter, right? There's a difference. So especially if you use a tool, right? You use a tool on someone's hamstrings, that thing is all bumpy and like, you know, you guys know what I'm talking about. You use an iStim tool, a rock tape, you know, rock blades that we have, Mohawk, things like that. You scrape up someone's hamstring, you know, up and down on it, and you feel all that, those bumps and stuff. It doesn't matter. You don't need to make those things go away. People feel just fine. They don't even know that they're ever there, right? The goal is to make that person move better or feel better. My goal, my objective marker is not, are they smoother now? So getting back on track, because I'm going all over the place here. One, what is that unhappy spot, which is actually what I like to call it as opposed to a knot? What is that? And why is it there? So one, as if you want to go into the science of it, I was actually at the FRC, the Fascia Research Congress, last year, in Germany. And elastography studies are actually pretty awesome. And they can show you that objectively that tissue is different than the other tissue that doesn't have that trigger point, right? From like a neurological tension perspective. And we know this because we can feel it, but the elastography studies will show that. But your patient's not going to understand what the hell that is, and you probably don't understand what that is. You know, I'm speaking fast, and I'm like, you're like, what? Elastography? What? Let's just call that knot an unhappy spot, right? So let's go on kind of with the physiology here. It's an unhappy spot. What's one of the things that you, just I want you to stand up while you're listening to this. If you're driving, don't stand up. But if you're anywhere else, stand up right now. Imagine that you are grumpy. You don't want anyone to talk to you. You don't want anyone to look at you. What might you do, right? You might cross your arms. I'm doing it right now. I might cross your arms and hunch over and get real just tight. And you're like, don't look at me. Shut up. I don't want to talk to you. Leave me alone. Or maybe if you're scared, same kind of thing, right? If you're walking into somewhere dark, you don't know what's around. You know, you're not walking in there looking like a proud puppy there. You are, you know, cowered over, you know, leaning forward, protecting the vitals in the, you know, the front side of your body. That's a trigger point. It's an unhappy spot, right? For whatever reason, and we'll go into that, it's unhappy. And what does it do? It gets that increased tension in there, right? So it, imagine you're crossing your arms, you're hugging yourself tight, you're, don't talk to me, don't look at me, I don't feel safe, leave me alone. So if you stay in that position long enough, you might start to feel a little bit, you know, tight and stiff when you try to get out of that. And that's going to speak to the actual physiological changes that can occur when we have a, you know, chronically tight area. What am I talking about there? Primarily fascial interfaces. When things get, you know, they stay in a certain position for a long time, and it could be that they're being held there neurologically or because they're in a cast, whatever, right? When things don't move, we lose the ability for those surfaces, those layers, to slide and glide past themselves. So we see some hyaluronic acid changes in there. And actually, there's some new research coming out. We talk about it at our Rocktape courses that if I have too little hyaluronic acid, or if I have too much at those, you know, interfaces, both can be problematic and stop that interlayer gliding. So, you know, suffice to say, I'm losing physiologically, mechanically, the ability to slide and glide. So now, you know, one, I'm holding tight because I'm scared, I'm pissed off, I'm unhappy. And then physiologically, I'm getting stuck. I can't glide. I can't slide and glide. So the clinician then comes and is trying to unwrap my arms, right? I am that trigger point. The clinician is trying to open me up and relax me. Dude, don't come banging away on me with some tools or with your hand and be so aggressive, right? One, if we're going to try and relax that area, be kind to it. Imagine it is just an unhappy person. Are you going to yell at them and scream at them and be super physical with them? Or perhaps might you want to coax them, be nice to them. Yeah, hot packs have their place, right? Be nice to that so that it relaxes a bit. And then we can worry about trying to impart some physiological moving, sliding and gliding to those surfaces. Movement, active movement, is going to actually be the best way to do that. That's why things like pin and stretch techniques or tack and floss techniques are so beneficial, because they're going to hold that area down and then the person's going to move and we're going to get some nice sliding and gliding at those deeper fascial interfaces or deeper fascial layers. So let me recap before I lose you here, right? We have that unhappy spot, trigger point. It's holding tight. If I want to loosen it up, one, be kind to it, okay? I love to use tools, but not because I'm breaking anything apart. You are not breaking apart tissue or fascia. It takes thousands of pounds of force to do that. If you were able to do that, your patient is never coming back to you, right? You're not doing that. What we are doing is communicating with the nervous system to get a nice reflexive change in the tissue tone there. So you can be super nice to that area. Come to a Rocktape course, a Rock Blades course in particular, and I will show you, right? It's one of my favorite ways to treat. I realize that some of you out there might be saying, well, then how does like trigger point work when you just like drop an elbow or drop a, you know, whatever on that person? That's also going to be reflexive, okay? You have different receptors within the fascia. One of those, and again, this is, I don't want to say that this is all, it's all very cursory is what I want to say, that we are learning the mechanisms behind this. But what we're seeing, right, is that we're getting a reflexive change in the tissue tone. And one of the players is a mechanoreceptor called a Ruffini ending. Ruffini endings work, or respond, I should say. Ruffini endings respond to deeper or more sustained pressure, right? The way that I like to remember the acronym there, remember what they do, R goes with R, Ruffini relaxation. So when you put pressure on that area, it down-regulates that tissue tone or can turn down the attention that area is getting, and we can get some reflexive relaxation of that tissue. We talk about this in our Rock Blades course. Come to a course. Right? Some of you may also be saying, well, how does foam rolling work? The exact same way, right? If you're holding it in a specific area, well, then you're going to get that reflexive change in tissue tone, right? And that's occurring via the mechanoreceptors within the tissue. We hold in place, we get that down regulation, or we get stimulation of Ruffini endings, which can cause down regulation of that tissue. We can also get interlayer gliding because of foam rolling, right? There's definitely utility and value in foam rolling. And no, none of this should hurt. Right, to answer the question, perhaps a third question that you guys may have is, well, you know what, when I like kill and crush my IT band, I feel better. Yeah, because you didn't die. That's like literally the reason that you feel better. Right? Let's remember, one, you're going to get some of those reflexive changes. You can get that without crushing someone. Two, we will get interlayer gliding. Right? You don't have to crush someone to do that. And three, the psychosocial component. If someone believes they have to get crushed in order to feel better, if you crush them, they feel better. Right? They're expecting to feel better. So you don't have to do that. Perhaps if I educate that person first, let them know what's going on, show them some before and afters with different techniques, right? Show them or demonstrate them on that actual person. We can get some more buy-in and we can change how that person expects to be treated. For those of you, fourth question I'm going to answer, that know anything about body tempering or maybe that don't know much about body tempering, I brought Josh Jeffries on. I'll link that episode in the show notes if you want to learn more about it. But for those of you guys asking or wondering, well, you know, I've heard about body tempering. I saw it on social media. And how does that work? Because they're using heavy implements. It's like foam rolling on steroids times a million. It's still working through the nervous system primarily. And Josh explains that amazing on that episode, right? It's just giving that nervous system more input. And perhaps that's what that person needed. But when the practitioner is using it, they are extremely mindful of the nervous system and that patient's experience. It's not just imparting this on that unwilling victim there, and we're not breaking anything up. Okay? So we can be nice to that area, get a nice reflexive change in that tissue tone. And then if there is a mechanical issue, right, where those fascial layers are not sliding and gliding well past themselves because they've been holding tight for so long, then we can do that pin and stretch. Then, you know, that's how mechanically we are having our change if we are having any kind of change or any kind of effect. Right, so we've gone over the how, or the what, and the how. Right, what is it? An unhappy area in that tissue, right? Perhaps increased neurological tone to that area, some loss of slide and glide in that area. It may be sensitive. It kind of hurts. The person's like, yes, it hurts when you do that. All right, so that is the what and what's going on there. How do we help it? Be nice to the nervous system. Get a reflexive change, and then if we need to work on that mechanical component, working on improving interlayer gliding, that's when we can use things like pin and stretch, tack and floss techniques, and soft tissue work in general will help out with that. But now we got to go back to the why. Why is that thing there in the first place? And that's what people keep missing. All that they tend to get is sometimes the what is it. Maybe they're not even that strong in understanding what it is. And they get a ton of the how. Here's how you can treat this thing. Here's how you can beat this person up. Let's maybe take a different direction, right? I gave you the what. I gave you the how and said, maybe here's a better way how to do it. Now, the why, right? Why is that thing there in the first place? If you ask Ida Rolf, she would tell you, where you think it is, it ain't. What does that mean? 9 times out of 10, that area that's barking at you isn't the problem area. Right? My boy, Adam Wolf, he says it all the time. I don't know who he stole it from, but either way, I'm stealing it from him. And all he says all the time, the victims cry out, the culprits always stay silent. That knot, that trigger point you have at your, you know, by your shoulder blade, that is a victim. And yet we take a lacrosse ball and we smash the crap out of it. And then we're like, why do you keep coming back? Why aren't you better? Well, imagine that pissed off person that we were pretending to be before. If someone came and was just hammering away at you, would you suddenly be like, oh, I'm going to stop doing this now. I feel safe. No, of course not. So why is that thing there? Why is it so tight? Well, usually it's because it's picking up the slack for something else. Something else somewhere else doesn't have the stability that it needs to have, isn't doing its job. So that area keeps having to work harder. It says, man, you know what? This area isn't safe. It's not stable. I'm just going to get tight. Right? The easiest way to impart stability at an area is to take away mobility from somewhere else. Right? I'll say it one more time because I know you want me to. The easiest way to impart stability is to take away mobility from somewhere else. Right? You just make it really stiff, make it really tight. So we can and pretty much should go and address that tight, stiff area first, right? Make that person feel good. When you're treating someone, the first thing you have to go after is pain. Don't chase it all over the body, but you got to first mitigate and manage those symptoms in some way, shape, or form. And then we can start to uncover the why, right? You got to treat those symptoms first. The pendulum has swung entirely too far. And people are like, you know, go after the cause, find the cause. You got to treat the symptoms before you can try and find the cause. I did a DM about it the other day. You know, we should treat like firemen or firefighters, make that gender inclusive. Treat like firefighters, right? They go and put the fire out first, and then they work hard to establish what caused that fire, right? As they're going, they're looking and they're trying to make sure that they don't get, you know, tamper with any evidence that could help them figure out what the cause is. But first and foremost, they're looking to save people's lives. And then they're saying, let's put this fire out, right? I spoke with a battalion chief about this, so I'm certain that's the order of things. So when we're treating, we should be doing the same thing. So we mitigate those symptoms first, right? Be nice to that trigger point. Feather it. Love it. Be kind. Put a heat pack on it. I don't care, right? Hypervolt, they work great. Love it. Be nice to it. And then we say, why is it there? Likely because something else somewhere else isn't doing its job. So the best example I can give is that, you know, scapular trigger point, right? That shoulder blade trigger point that everyone gets. I used to get it all the time. Oftentimes that bad boy keeps coming back because your cervical stabilizers aren't doing their job. All right, you got a big old bowling ball atop your little golf tee of a neck. If that neck doesn't feel stable, it's going to take whatever it can from around it, get tight, and now it feels stable. Right? I said the easiest way to impart stability is to take away mobility from something else. If your neck doesn't feel stable, it says, okay, I'm just going to make things that are around me tight, and now I feel safe. Dr. Perry Nicholson says it all the time, stability rules the movement road. So first, we go and we impart that mobility. We work on that trigger point. We work to relax that area, right? It's a point of tension. It's an unhappy spot. We work to make that spot happy. If it needs a little neurological loving, then we do that. If it needs a little mechanical interlayer gliding, then we do that. Right? And then we say, why do you keep getting tight? Oh, because you're picking up the slack for something else. Your assessment will tell you what else, right? Then we go after that. The overarching question you got to ask yourself is, do I need to be getting rid of this thing at all? Right? This is where we have time, or becomes the time where you got to oftentimes de-educate your patients and then re-educate your patients, because they think that is my problem. If I can get rid of that, then I would feel better. And my response would be, if I could get rid of that, I would be charging you a whole lot more money, right? Because it doesn't work that way. We're not treating tables. We have to get away from this very mechanical understanding of things. And that's why I love when you guys, especially students, reach out to me, because I know that you're getting a ton of new information. I know that you're in school and some of you are like, oh, very jaded, but I know that you're also on social media and you're reading about this stuff. And maybe you're reading my posts, but it's hard for it to sink in. It's hard for it to really understand it and put it into play. And that's what I want for you guys. I want you to really understand this and digest it. So if you don't get it, don't be embarrassed. Reach out to me, right? Message me, come to my course, 50% off. I'll put that at the end of the show, right? Come and learn, right? So I'm getting super excited here. I'm going to take a breath. Okay, I'm better here. The big question, do we have to do anything with it at all? This is where the time comes to de-educate and then re-educate. It's important to explain to our patients what that area is, what that area means, right? What is it? Why is it there? How can what I'm doing and what we're doing help with it? And then, you know, originally, why did it get there? And that means this is what we're going to do within our treatment, right? So I want you to explain to them the stuff that I just explained to you. One, what is it? It's an unhappy spot. It's the nervous system saying, I don't like this. And perhaps it's been holding there for so long that now we have some layers that don't want to move, slide, and glide that well. I don't use the word release because people think that they have gremlins living in their tissues and you have to like beat the crap out of it for them to feel better. Right? It's an unhappy spot. The nervous system doesn't feel safe, doesn't feel good there. a little bit scared, so it's holding on tight. We may have some mechanical changes at those fascial layers, things that want to glide and slide well. All right, so I can use this tool, I can use my hand, we can use a foam roller, we can use movement to help out with that. Once that area is feeling better, then we can go and say, okay, what is not doing its job that's causing this area to overwork? It's very important that we help that person understand that, yes, their pain is real, but two, the area that's painful typically isn't the problem spot. But we are first going to address that pain because it is real and it matters. But then our goal is to keep that pain from coming back. And the way that we're going to do that is by figuring out the cause and understanding that, like what Ida Rolf said, where you think it is, it ain't. Okay, I'm out of breath. Hopefully I have answered the question for you. I don't even know if you had a question. We just came over here and I was like, we're going to talk about trigger points because my girl had a question. All right. Figure out, go and research for any problem that comes your way. One, what is it? What actually is it? Can I explain this back to a five-year-old? Can I explain it back to my patient in words that they will actually understand? Two, can I explain to them how I'm going to help them and how my interventions are working? If you can't explain that, okay, I'm not here to, you know, rag on you for that. Reach out to me. Reach out to someone that you respect and ask them how these things work. And then, number three, figure out why it's there. Once you figure out why it's there, and this may take time, right? We're always assessing and reassessing. Once you figure out why it's there, then you can go and change your plan of care or establish your plan of care and help that person to stay better, right? If you liked this stuff, if you like my explanation, even though I know I talk fast and I'm up in arms, I'm actually standing up recording this episode. If you liked it, I would really encourage you to come to one of my Moving with the Maestro courses. I designed this course because I get a lot of questions like this. And I was like, you know what? I used to have these questions and no one really answered them that well. Or I'd get them answered piecemeal from, you know, a million different continuing education courses that I've taken. So I put a course together based on everything that I learned and I put it into one spot for you guys. I get the questions from you all the time. Hey, is there like a book you'd recommend that, you know, I could learn about this stuff? No, it doesn't exist because I got it from this and from that and from that. So I made a course because I want to help you guys out and I made it affordable. Right, it's $400 if you are a professional, or you know, if you're not a student, it's $400. If you're a student, it's $250. I want you guys to come. I want you guys to learn. No, there are no CEUs, but I promise you will leave the weekend with more questions answered, and perhaps some new questions that you need to get answered. And that's what I want. So if you're interested in this, head on over to my website, www.themovementmaestro.com/maestro-courses, and sign up for a course. I will link it in the show notes because I know it's like hard to write stuff down. I'll link it in the show notes. If you have any questions, you can also shoot me an email there. The whole thing is laid out. I have them all around the country. I want to see you. Okay, this was a longer than usual Thursday shorty, but this is how I get when we start talking about topics that I'm super passionate about. So please continue to send me your questions, your comments, your concerns, DM me, email me, come to a course. All right, friends, thank you for tuning in. I know you could have been doing anything and you chose to listen to me rant for 20 minutes. For that, I am endlessly, one more time, endlessly grateful. Until next time, friends, Maestro out.